From this time, the events of Holy Week gather pace. The crisis has come, and our Lord is carried along like a leaf in a flooded stream. No longer any control, no opportunity to plan, organize, powerless before the forces that will overwhelm. True for our Lord, true also for those of us, all of us, who seek to follow in his way. So as we reflect over these 3 days, the events of Christ's life, we find an echo in our own life that we call to respond in the way our Lord responds to crises in our lives. Our Lord's response at first was care for his disciples. He's about to be snatched away from them, and he leaves them with this pledge of his presence. He will be with them always as they gather around the altar. He will feed them and us through bread and wine with his own life and love. He will be with them, and they will know all the blessings that his presence brings. After supper, Jesus girds himself with a towel and tenderly washes the feet of the disciples, a sign of care, of humble service. Peter particularly finds this difficult. How are we able to receive help and care? Can we receive gracefully and gratefully? Our Lord leads his disciples to the Mount of Olives and there prays in anguish. Prayer is his strength in this time of waiting. And events continue to move quickly, relentlessly. The capture, the trial before Caiaphas and Pilate. Tonight's service is linked to tomorrow by the watch of the Passion. The end of this service, the altar stripped, symbolizing the rejection of Christ, and then the Blessed Sacrament that has been consecrated is carried in procession into the chapel, which becomes tonight the Garden of Gethsemane. There our Lord present in the sacrament, and we will wait and watch, just as those disciples did. So if you can, at the end of the service, do try to spend some time there, watching. Don't worry if you're not very successful at it. The disciples certainly weren't. But just being there with the Lord is a sign of our desire to follow. And then really the same service, the service that we begin tonight, is continued in the morning at 9:30. And we gather once more. Just at that time, Christ is being led out to be crucified. And once again, the events move swiftly. No chance for food, drink, or sleep for our Lord. As with us, the crisis simply overwhelms him. Can we rest in God, in prayer, as the waves sweep over our lives, as they most certainly will? Tomorrow's service has a fourfold structure, a very clear structure. Firstly, the reading of the Passion narrative. So as Christ is led out to be crucified, we hear the story of the Passion again. The second part is the great prayer for the church and the world. And our Lord's offering on the cross is a prayer for the world. His self-offering is a prayer. An offered life by any of us is a prayer. A living prayer. The third aspect of the service in the morning is the opportunity to venerate the cross. The cross is set up here in the sanctuary. And we're able to move forward, to reach out, to touch or to kiss the cross, and identifying ourselves with the sacrifice of our Saviour. Reaching out in gratitude and love. And the service concludes the fourth part with a simple receiving of communion. Those elements that have been reserved tonight, carried back from the Garden of Gethsemane, where they've rested through the night. We share simply in the elements, share in Christ's body broken and his blood shed. So we are really there at Calvary. Christ comes to us. This week is about our Lord's life, but it's about ours too. He's given us a pattern, a way to follow. The collect for Palm Sunday in the Book of Common Prayer goes like this. O God, who gave your only Son to die upon the cross, that all humanity should follow the example of his great humility, grant that we may follow in his patience and also be sharers in his resurrection. A very close link between patience and resurrection. Patience in a very rich and full word, that has been resting in God in time of trial. Through the cross comes resurrection. The Easter Vigil will begin in darkness, a spark in a dark place. And that will be the truth. Light will spring from darkness, and life from death. And to quote two other prayers, first entitled The Way of the Cross. Almighty God, whose most dear Son went not up to joy, but first he suffered pain, and entered not into the fullness of his glory before he was crucified. Mercifully grant that we, walking in the way of the cross, may find it none other than the way of life and peace, through the same your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the second entitled, The Approach to the Cross. O Lord Christ, call us, we're called to be saints, along the way of the Holy Cross. Draw us who would draw near to our King, to the foot of the cross. Cleanse us who are not worthy to approach by the pardon of the cross. Instruct us, the ignorant and blind, in the school of your cross. Arm us for the battle of holiness by the might of your cross. Bring us through the fellowship in your sufferings to the victory of the cross, and seal us in the kingdom of your glory among the servants of the crucified one, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. This is the good news for Jesus and for us, then and now. Light springs from darkness. Can we hold on to that truth? See it so brightly in our Lord's life. Isaiah says, I will give you the treasures of darkness. This is our hope.